All right, and we're back in studio with Susan Simon.
Hi.
Hello, Susan.
Hi, Jake. How are you? I see that you've been elevated.
Yes,
moved up to engineer.
Exactly. Right. That's exactly
Isn't
right.
Isn't that exciting?
Very exciting. And you've just risen to the occasion.
Thank you.
And Susan's here to talk about food, and I say, who doesn't want to talk about food?
Oh, no. All the time. Any time of day. Food. And what a better place to talk about food than in this valley.
Well, actually,
that's right.
Yes.
I don't want to talk about food when I'm hungry. That's
Are you hungry right now?
Yes. it's going to be rough for me, but I'll deal through it.
No snacks.
Nope. Just a radio station.
There don't seem to be any snacks here. There were brownies earlier, but
looks
well,
like
we
good.
Won't talk about that. So. What's new?
Well, there are a couple of subjects that I would let's see if we can touch on in this particular
segment. Sure.
One is what's in season right now, which is glorious. To me, this is the end of the summer. Harvest is the most glorious, the most beautiful. It's when, especially with the heat, has not been pleasant for us to be in, but I think the produce has liked it and has been very. Very good for it. Stuff, especially with dark skin, have had the opportunity to really ripen on the vine. The tomatoes, eggplant, plums have gotten even more delicious than they usually are. And there are so many things to make with these. That's one thing I want to talk about.
Plum tomatoes or plums? Just curious.
Tomatoes and plums.
Plum tomatoes and plums. Okay.
And I also want to talk about... Rosh Hashanah, which is Monday.
That's right.
Which is the Jewish New Year, which also has to do with things that are in harvest right now, which we're harvesting right now, which typically served on Rosh Hashanah are apples dipped in honey to ensure a sweet year.
Oh.
So we've got wonderful apples, and there are a lot of people selling their honey right now. I mean, there's just an explosion of people that have returned to the land, so to speak.
That's right.
There are people with, not only with livestock, with gardens and orchards and creameries, but beehives and...
Have the bees recovered from their great collapse?
Well, it depends on where you are in the world. I think I think there has been a great collapse, but it's mostly among commercial hives. I think people with small hives have been okay. I'll qualify that. I can't speak for every small hive in these counties. Mm-hmm. I know that my brother-in-law has 15 hives on Nantucket, and there are no pesticides used within a mile of where his bees have a mile radius that they fly out to feed. And where his bees go, there are no pesticides,
So he was not affected.
He was not affected, and I imagine that's the same for a lot of the honey that we find around here,
right?
Because most people are pretty careful about.
That's what it's like at the Eager Brother Farms. That's where I work.
Oh, you work there?
Mm-hmm.
And they sell honey, don't they?
Yep.
They have their honey.
They have beehives.
They have beehives, and I get local honey from I shouldn't say who, but it's somebody because I think it's only. There's not a great quantity, but it's from somebody who has a great organic garden in this area, and that's pretty delicious. And the other thing I want to talk about is a class that I'm teaching at Valley Variety on the 26th, which is, I guess it's 2 weeks from this Saturday. I don't know if you got a notice from you did. Oh, good. So what should we talk about first?
But also. Well, I think we just talked about the wonderful harvest.
We talked about the wonderful harvest, but things to do with it. I mean, tomorrow, you know that I write a column for the Columbia Green Media Group. So the column appears on both sides of the river on their daily papers, Register Star, the Daily Mail. Tomorrow's column is about purple fruits, eggplant and plums. Plums.
Okay.
But eggplant's a fruit too. And you
Oh it is?
Although we eat it as a vegetable.
Tomatoes are considered a fruit.
You know, any vegetable that has seeds inside are fruit.
Oh, I see.
Hey,
so
even zucchini. Wait a second.
Yes.
Every vegetable with seeds on the inside.
Inside,
fruit.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
A potato does not have seeds inside.
Who says that?
That's That's
biology.
Yeah, I guess. You can ask Mark when he comes in here and talks. Plums are, you know, really diverse. There are a couple of wonderful things that I like to do with plums that are not at mm-hmm. all difficult. One I just lifted from a friend of mine who just takes either any kind of plums, the wonderful little Italian prune plums that you see right mm-hmm. now, or the regular old purple plums, pale rose-colored plums that are around now. Cut them in half, take the pits out, put them on parchment paper lined baking sheet with sides, and then just splash a little maple syrup on them and a dash of vanilla all over them. Put them in a 375 oven for half an hour.
Oh, here we go. My mouth is watering.
And they start to collapse, and they inhale all that other flavoring.
Do you put it on ice cream then?
Then you can put it on ice cream, or you can put it with yogurt. Or
on a cake.
On a cake. There you go. Jake's chiming right in. What about on a cheesecake?
That would be good.
Oh, my gosh.
That's some thinking.
Yeah? They're just delicious.
Be careful. He's hungry.
Because even as the plums are sweetening in this wonderful heat and sun, they're still kind of tart. So you want that extra added little maple syrup.
Well, you know, for years I've heard about the New York Times publishes this recipe for a plum tart every year.
Every year.
And they stopped publishing it, and people were up in arms. So I guess they're publishing it again. And it requires Italian purple plums. So I was inspired when I went to the market last weekend.
Did you get some?
I have, and I have secured the recipe. I have yet to make it, but it sounds like so simple.
And how is it made?
It's like a, I don't know what to call it, a fruit. It's a kind of dough that you mix, and you put it in the pan, and you put the plums on top, and it all, you know, somehow comes together.
Oh, so it's
a cobbler.
Like a plum cake almost.
Yeah, a plum cake.
So that when it bakes, the batter rises up. And
yeah,
sort of
and the plums sink. Sort of sink.
Sounds delicious. Yes,
and you can use any fruit. It just happens.
And so yeah, that summer fruit cake is something that I make in various forms. Sometimes I put buttermilk in it. Sometimes it's eggs.
Yeah.
It's a delicious cake. But the recipe that I used this week is a plum crunch. Not a crisp, not a crumble, but a crunch, because it's so thick. I mean, you know, sometimes you just, for a crumble, you just scatter crumbs on top. Mm-hmm. But this is a crunch that has quite a bit of flour and sugar and oats in it. So you just put it on top of like 3 pounds of cut up Italian prune plums, and then you put this crunch topping on it. It is delicious. You get that nice, again, it's the contrast with look at Jake, the contrast of the tart plums and this thick, sweet walnuts in it, you know, texture topping.
Oh, Lord.
Stop using adjectives, please.
Should I speak only in the present tense? And then eggplant, you know, I don't know how, you know, I think it's eggplant is one of those love it or hate it kind of things, mm-hmm. but I love it.
I've never cooked with eggplant.
You haven't?
No.
Really?
Why?
I don't know. I'm not drawn to an eggplant.
You're
for
not?
Some reason.
Yeah.
I think of it as being the texture of okra. Somehow.
I don't think it's as gluey as or glue, whatever that's.
Well, perhaps I've eaten it when it wasn't cooked properly.
Almost every recipe for eggplant calls for you slicing it and salting it and putting mm-hmm, it in a colander, mm-hmm. weighting it down to get rid of the bitter juices. But the eggplant, if you buy the eggplant fresh from farm stands right now, after, I repeat, it's been in the sun and it's had a chance to really ripen, you can skip that. Skip
oh, that's
that
good
step
to know.
Because it's already sweet. It doesn't have bitter in it. So I like it. Always. I mean, put it on the outdoor grill, you know, put olive oil, put the recipe tomorrow is with a kind of spicy coating on it, and it's an eggplant cutlet. You know, Parmesan, you can slice it thinly and grill it, then
it's
stuff it.
It's a platform
and
for all
it's
kinds
a plat-
of
there you
good
go,
things.
Ellen. It's a platform.
Rollatini.
Well, yeah.
So I'll use eggplant as a segue into this class that I'm going to teach, which is based on a book that I translated a few years ago that's called Italy Dish by Dish, which is a kind of a culinary tour through all the 20 regions of Italy.
Would you pronounce that word again?
it's nice to know you called that too.
What do you say, culinary?
No, I say culinary, yeah. And I swear that's the way to pronounce it.
Oh, well, here we go.
Don't you believe?
We were making fun of her
Maybe
last
Maybe
it's
week a generational
that.
Thing.
I was just about to say that, Alan.
I've never heard it been called culinary before, only but, culinary.
Well, because the younger generation has been pronouncing it incorrectly for a long time.
Oh, I see. It's our fault.
And I say this as a segue. Do we have enough time to tell you why? Because eggplant, which seems so iconically Italian, was, I think I've mentioned this before, according to Pellegrino Artusi, who wrote one of the emblematic cookbooks of the Italian cuisine in the late 19th century, has one eggplant recipe in his book, because mm-hmm. he said until a few years ago, eggplant and fennel were considered the vile food of the Jews.
Really?
Wow.
Yes. So here we are with, like, you wouldn't go into an Italian
fennel
too. Yeah.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Well, eggplant, I think, came from, again, we can verify the story of how eggplant arrived in our area, but I think it came from Africa. So this book, that it's actually not an original work, it's a translation of a work that goes through all the regions of Italy, and in each region it has categories from antipasti through wines. And at the end of each region, there is an emblematic recipe of each region.
So this is Italy Dish by Dish.
This is Italy Dish by Dish. And I'm going to base the class that I am going to teach. It's going to be a class at a dinner, actually, so people can come and learn.
At Valley Variety, right?
At Valley Variety. Mm. And they can, you know, we'll do a demonstration of the first course, which is real true risotto alla milanese, which is made with the marrow from, you know, beef bones. Just, you know, starts it off, and mm-hmm. then, you know, it's made with beef broth. I mean, I think there are as many recipes for risotto alla milanese as there are makers of the recipe.
Mm.
And some of the recipes are not actual recipes that are found in the book, but they are descriptions of the food that you find in these regions. But the descriptions are so in-depth that I've been able to create a recipe from the description.
Wow.
So I'll be talking to people on how they can create their own recipes from a description.
And this is the end of September.
This is September, right? 26th, but I don't think I'll be here before then, so that's why I'm talking about it now.
Uh-huh.
So it's just go to valleyvariety.com and get all the...
And the book, Italy Dish by Dish, is in print,
It's in print, and we will be... Yes, it's in print.
And you'll have copies.
We'll have copies of it there. And
wonderful.
And the other thing is just to wish everybody, you know, Happy New Year, whether you're Jewish or not, because I always think of fall as the beginning of the new year, whether or not, don't you think?
Well,
when school starts again, it's
exactly.
The harvest.
Yeah, it has that feeling about it.
It does.
I mean, the weather changes.
Oh, we hope it changes.
Yes. We don't know.
We're not sure.
Anymore.
But you know, it's a joyful holiday that goes on for 8 days, that ends with a very solemn holiday, which is Yom Kippur, which is the Day mm-hmm. of Atonement, when people are supposed to fast.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's honey cakes and things with honey, things that are sweet, things briskets and, you know, and chicken that's cooked with dates. And
people like sweet things.
People like sweet things, and it's, you know, it's just to sweeten the new year. There. I've said everything I want to say quickly.
Oh, you told me earlier about a couple of experiences you've had with the new food emporiums, I call them. I don't know.
Yes.
They're restaurants.
Yes,
basically.
New restaurants. Am I allowed to talk about them? I mean, am I allowed to give my opinions? Yes. I only give opinions when they're good.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm not a critic. I am a critic in private. But in public, I will only say good things. And... one is Hannah Black, who was the chef at the food truck in Catskill last summer when they had Thai food, is now doing a pop-up restaurant at Debbie's Little Restaurant up here. Is this Green?
It's,
or is
Columbia.
Columbia, in this block where Vassilov's is, and she's doing it every Tuesday. but she's gone on a little hiatus, and we'll start up again in November. And it's she and a bunch of her friends are doing kind of, well, she has a different name for it every week. One week it was called Coastal Creole, and then the other day it was called Chow Chow, C-I-A-O-C-H-O-W. Basically, it's South American and Central American food. So one time I had a wonderful Brazilian fish stew, which is a moqueca with, it had mussels and shrimp and monkfish, and it was in a coconut broth. It's divine. And the other night there was, there's always a ceviche, and there's always that wonderful corn that they do in the elote that they do in Mexico, and they roast the corn and put cream on it. She mm-hmm. happens to put this crema on, and then she rolls it in chopped peanuts. There are things made. Oh. There are plantain patties. It's just highly flavored food, lots of layers, and you can taste all the layers of the food. There's a great vibe in there. This guy that does a program on WGXC, Juan Sanchez, I think his name is, who does a kind of Latin music program, is there playing his music, and he's got his guitar, and he'll serenade you by your table. It's on the dessert menu, a song by Juan. And Hannah bought us a song the other night, and he did Guantanamera, and he gave us old maraches and those things that you clamp together and you scrape on the gourds, and the vibe in there is joyous, and the food is delicious.
Is this going to morph into a full-fledged restaurant?
I don't know. It's her art. I mean, she has art on the wall. She's collaborates with a lot of artists. All the placemats are individually designed by artists. I felt very good there. It was good, and it was
sounds
fun.
Great. I heard about it at the pop-up factor, and that there was going to be an exhibition and this food available. But I never made it there. It was on Tuesday nights?
On Tuesday nights, and it'll start again in November on Tuesdays, and I'm sure it'll be announced. And the other is William Farmer and Son, which I think we've all been watching their progress down on Front Street. On Front Street.
And the former Maxis and Moxies.
That's right. And they've been opening slowly. They opened their cafe, and now their bar is open, so they have a bar menu and really delicious drinks, and the food is very, very tasty. It's just delicious, and the drinks are.
I'm getting hungrier by the minute.
It's very comfortable in there. It's nice. It's just a nice addition.
It looks like they've done a great job in renovation.
Yeah, it's a nice addition to the food scene. I can tell you that I have a kind of one of my favorite drinks. I don't drink it a lot, but if I see a Dark and Stormy on a menu, I'll order it.
And what is a Dark and Stormy?
Dark and Stormy is made with rum and Jamaican ginger beer, but they made theirs with rum and fresh ginger juice and club soda. So the ginger juice is kind of really sharp and spicy. With the sweet rum, it was delicious. Very, very delicious. Wow. So these are two places that I'm happy to report about.
Well, I think we've exhausted.
We've got Jake.
Now we're all, hungry as anything. And but thank you, Susan.
Oh, you're very welcome. My pleasure.
No, it was really interesting to hear all about the eggplant and Rosh Hashanah. And that it's a fruit. That was unknown to me, that if something has seeds, it's really a fruit.
Good to know.
Okay.
Indeed.
Goodbye. Well, till the next time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming in. And we'll see you in a month, if not before.
To be continued. Thank you.
To be continued.
All right.
Bye.